Text, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries Presents. Title, Haley Dean Mysteries, A Prescription for Murder. Two women enter emergency room of hospital. Text, Kelly Martin.
So, Dr. Chang, what's my diagnosis?
The irregularity in your heart rhythm is substantial. Your shortness of breath is very worrisome. You're staying put until we can figure out what's going on. No stress, no stimuli, calm and quiet. Nurse Brian, can you keep an eye on her?
This makes no sense. I had a full physical a year ago before I took over as CEO of this hospital.
Your heart was healthy then. It isn't now.
Shakes head.
I understand.
Erica, you discharged my patient. I want to know why.
Megan, Erica needs calm and quiet. You should leave.
It's okay, Dr. Chang. Dr. Phillips, your patient isn't critical. He's been referred to the free clinic on an outpatient basis.
I'm aware, but with full-time care, he'll get better in weeks instead of months. I want him readmitted.
No.
She sighs.
End of discussion.
That's enough. Out.
I won't let this happen again.
Text, and Lauren Holly. Costume designer Tina Fiorda. She covers her face and flicks hair out of her eyes. Text, music by Hamish Thomason. Editor Jason Pielik. A dark shadow overtakes Erica in bed. A hand puts a different drug in her fore. Her eyes flutter and open. Her heart rate begins to drop. She pants and clutches her chest as her heart rate goes to zero. She lies still, her head to the side as she flatlines on the heart rate monitor. Text, production designer Chris Wishart.
That was a good run. Now for the smoothie I promised you.
Oh, can't wait. Hey, did I tell you my mother went to California to help my cousin with her new baby?
Oh, Georgina had her baby. That's great news.
Yeah, beautiful girl. My mom is sending me pictures on the hour.
Accompanied by the when am I going to be a grandmother guilt trip?
How did you know?
Oh, the same thing happened to me when my sister had Parker. My parents got grandparent fever.
Well, my dad is home alone now that he's retired and going a bit stir crazy. He went from 80-hour weeks as an accountant down to zero, so I was thinking maybe we could all have dinner?
Oh.
I mean, I don't want to force you to meet him if you're not ready. He feels like he already knows you.
Of course. I feel like I know him, too.
You sure?
Yes. Really, it'll be fun.
Ooh, I'm going to have to take a rain check on that smoothie. I've just been assigned a high-profile postmortem that takes priority over everything else.
Who is it?
I don't know. I'll call you about dinner with my dad.
Okay.
He kisses her cheek, then leaves the house. City buildings.
It was a strong case, Paulina. I would say the evidence still supports a guilty verdict. Clayton Morrell killed his wife.
The only fault I can find is my decision not to use the witness, Walter Faraday.
You made an informed decision based on his history of alcohol abuse. You felt that the jury wouldn't find him credible.
But it should have been murder in the first degree. I settled for a lesser charge.
To guarantee a guilty verdict. We've all had to do it.
Still, 10 years into a 20-year sentence and Clayton Morrell is up for parole hardly seems a fair punishment.
I know, but it's rare to be granted parole the first time around, especially for murderers.
I suppose I just feel responsible for this one.
I get it. But you're the district attorney now. You'll speak at his parole hearing, and your words will matter. A lot.
Will you be there?
Of course. I've got your back.
Like old times.
Just like always.
The two women smile at each other as they sit in office. Food truck.
Meeting the father, huh?
I know. I'm a little nervous about it, actually.
Well, that's good. It means you care.
I do. I care. It's been a while since I met anyone's parents.
Oh, Haley, if anyone's a parent's dream, it's you.
What exactly is a parent's dream, Venture?
Well, let's see. Educated? Check. Good job? Check.
Mm-hmm.
Kind? Check. Good looks? Check. Good cook? Mm-hmm.
He looks away.
Why didn't you say check?
Hmm? Well, you know, you don't want me too perfect. You know, it's too good to be true and all that stuff.
Venture.
Where's Jonas, anyway?
He's stuck at work. How about Megan?
Same. CEO of the hospital died last night. They're all in shock.
Oh, that must be the VIP case Jonas was assigned. What happened?
I don't know. It was all very sudden, apparently.
Huh.
Yeah. And now the hospital's in damage control mode, and everybody's panicking, Megan included.
You know, I've got some time today. Maybe I'll run by the hospital and give Megan a little moral support.
Well, I'm sure she'd appreciate that. You see? Kind. Check, check. Two checks for Haley Dean.
And I can cook.
Yeah, we can check it.
He chuckles. A Urs leaves through emergency room exit. Several staff gather in room as Haley enters and looks around.
Hi, Megan.
Haley, what are you doing here?
I just heard what happened. I wanted to make sure you were okay. What's going on?
We're expecting an announcement any minute.
How are you holding up?
I can't quite wrap my head around it. I just spoke to Erica yesterday.
And medically, she seemed fine?
We were holding her for observation, but she was alert. She seemed like her usual self. Annoyed to be stuck in a hospital bed. She was a very active person. A big golfer. It just doesn't make any sense.
Who was her doctor? I would imagine this would be really difficult for them.
Dr. Chang was handling her case. Erica lured him here from New York. He's a very talented cardiologist with an ego to match. He's more robot than human.
Mm. Do you know who her nurses were?
Brian Martin and Lisa Sundstrom. That's Lisa. She's been working here longer than I have. Brian Martin's over there, talking to Ivy, Erica's assistant. Former assistant, I should say.
They look deep in conversation.
I didn't know they even knew each other. But I guess we're all worried someone's gonna get blamed.
Man in suit and tie enters.
If I could just have everyone's attention for a moment, please.
Brows raise a nice look at the man.
Most of you know me. But for those who don't, my name is Robert Harms. I'm the chairman of the board of directors for Atlanta Memorial Hospital.
Haley looks at a woman who rubs her neck.
These are times of great sadness for all of us. And I'm going to do everything I can as interim CEO to make sure that the transition of leadership is as seamless as possible. And my door will be open to all of you.
He nods, mouth open.
As always was.
Robert Harms leaves the room. A woman follows. The woman who rubbed her neck wipes away tears.
Were Mr. Harms and Erica very close?
I wouldn't have thought so. They were both up for the CEO job, and Erica won it over him. I'm surprised he's so emotional.
Haley nods, brows furrowed. She walks down narrow hospital hallway to the front desk.
Hi, I'm Haley Dean. I don't want to disturb you, but I understand that you were both assigned to Erica Shulman, and I just wanted to let you know that if you needed to talk to anyone, I am available.
You're a therapist. That's really kind of you to offer.
Sometimes it's easier to talk to an outsider than someone you know or work with.
That's nice, thanks. We're just super busy on this floor.
I can imagine.
And that's a call button. I'll go.
Thanks. Do you two work well together?
We try. Lisa's a hard worker. She does her job and keeps to herself.
And how about you?
I'm still a bit new here. Takes a while to find your place at a new job.
Looks like you're doing fine. Did you know Erica well?
Not very, no. But she was really kind and very dedicated to the hospital. She was still running things even after she'd been admitted. Blood pressure didn't even budge when Dr. Phillips barged in and started yelling at her.
Dr. Megan Phillips?
It was pretty nasty. But Erica didn't even blink an eye. She's an amazing woman. She didn't deserve to suffer. At least now she can be at rest.
He furrows brows.
Excuse me, I have to go. You should find Ivy. She was Erica's assistant. I know she'd like to talk to somebody like you.
Haley smiles at him. He wraps stethoscope around neck and leaves front desk.
Hey.
Hospital main desk.
Ivy, isn't it?
Hi.
I'm Haley. I don't mean to corner you, but I'm a therapist, and given what's happened, I just want to let you know if you need to talk, I'm here.
Oh, that is so kind of you. Thank you.
I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
Oh, no, not at all, Dr. Phillips. Mr. Harms is expecting. I'm going to go check on him.
I've been called to the principal's office.
For something good, I hope.
I honestly have no idea.
All right, Dr. Phillips. Mr. Harms is waiting for you.
Thanks.
Haley furrows brows with lips tight. She walks past front desk in office.
Oh no! What happened to our chair? That is the first chair we ever bought for our first office together. It's the only one I wanted to keep when we move offices.
I know. My client went to sit down and then she just kept going right through.
Oh.
She's fine. Don't worry. It actually helped break the ice. We had our best session ever.
Huh. Silver lining. Although I don't think that is a technique we should be using, like, ever again.
Definitely not. How are things at the hospital?
No one wants to talk.
Well, all you can do is make yourself available.
As usual, you are right.
Do you want to grab a bite after work?
I can't. I'm going to dinner with Jonas and his dad.
First time?
She nods.
He's going to adore you. Just be yourself, and you'll have no choice.
Jonas lets her outside.
Thanks for picking me up. So, I'm kind of nervous to meet your dad. Is that silly?
Of course not. But honestly, don't be nervous. It'll be fun.
That was convincing.
I'm sorry, it's just this case, Erica Shulman.
No cause of death yet?
Cause of death, yes. Heart failure. Which fits with the sudden arrhythmia she experienced, but the cause of that arrhythmia and subsequent heart failure is still anyone's guess.
So what's yours?
Based on her medical history, there should have been no reason for her heart to fail. And the heart itself isn't giving me any clues. It was either a freak accident inside the heart...
Or
a chemical reaction. But to what? I've tested for 100 different substances and nothing.
You know, I've never heard you talk about a case like this before.
I've never run across a case like this before, and I'm starting to near the end of my testing protocols.
Okay, there's nothing you can do about it tonight, and I'm the one who's supposed to be worried.
Jonas smiles wide and kisses her.
He's going to love you. Because I love you. Come on.
She smiles.
We've been enjoying a bit of a second honeymoon these last few months. But now with my wife away, I don't know what to do with myself. And I know she wants me to find something other than her to occupy my newfound free time.
Have you considered keeping a few clients and just working part-time?
I had the option, but honestly, I didn't love my job. I worked with good people, and I missed them. But I don't miss the work itself.
I had no idea. I always thought you loved it.
That was a good job that provided for my family. That was all that mattered.
Well, all the more reason to enjoy yourself now.
Easier said than done. Haley, you must see this with other retirees. What's your advice?
Well, you have to build a whole new routine. I usually tell my patients that they should start with the things they used to love but stopped having time for. And if that's not of interest, just go for something you've always wanted to try.
That's good advice.
He winks at his son. Jonas subtly winks back, then smiles at Haley. At nighttime, Haley enters lab where Jonas types at computer. She wraps him in her arms from behind, coffee in hand.
You read my mind. My dad was very impressed with you, by the way.
Oh, I'm so relieved. I was shaking in my boots.
Well, no one could tell. You got here just in time to witness the last few test results.
Oh, right on cue.
I'm not feeling very hopeful.
That's the spirit.
They walk over to printer and he picks up sheet.
It's here. The cause of death.
What does it say?
An overdose of digoxin. Haley. Erica Shulman was poisoned.
Police car drives outside hospital.
Digoxin is used to treat heart conditions, specifically congestive heart failure.
Which Erica didn't have?
No, and even if she had, it wouldn't have been the first drug of choice. Digoxin has fallen out of favor in the last few years as safer medications have been developed.
Safer?
Comes from digitalis, more commonly known as foxglove.
Ah, the poisonous flower. Anyway, you're saying that digoxin was not prescribed to the victim?
Not according to her chart.
But it could have been an accident.
That's unlikely. These kinds of drugs have extra precautions so that mistakes like this don't happen.
And you're certain there's no innocent explanation?
The levels of digoxin in Erica Shulman's blood were way too high for a prescribed dosage of any drug, really. She would have only been given that much to kill her. And that's not the only thing.
I'm afraid to ask.
Erica developed a sudden arrhythmia, forcing her to be admitted into the hospital. Now, I can't prove this, but a high enough dosage of digoxin can cause arrhythmias in otherwise healthy patients.
So someone tried to kill her twice?
Very possibly.
But why didn't your initial drug test pick up on that?
Digoxin isn't on a standard drug panel because it isn't a standard drug these days.
So whoever chose it must have known that and hoped it wouldn't be detected.
Well, that sounds like an inside job. Would the hospital have this drug?
Possibly. Doctors do still prescribe it as a last resort.
All right, we will consider it a suspicious death for now. Did you report it to the hospital?
I called the acting CEO myself.
Then why hasn't anyone called us?
She tilts head.
Digoxin. That sounds deliberate to me, but
someone wanting to kill Erica? I can't imagine it.
I'm equally surprised. The staff I spoke to seemed genuinely upset about her death.
Did anyone have a problem with her?
She was the CEO of a hospital. There were a lot of people who had problems with her. But to poison her right here in the hospital, I don't know anyone who'd do that.
Anybody have access to her room?
Pretty much anyone. We're all usually so busy that no one would notice unless it was someone who really wasn't supposed to be there.
I think we can assume it's someone who works here.
What a horrible thought, but yes, I guess so. Yeah, I can't help with motives, but we do have digoxin here at the pharmacy. There would be a record if any of it had been dispensed.
Who do we talk to about that?
Anne, the head pharmacist. And she wasn't exactly Erica's biggest fan.
Why not?
Erica was going to implement a new automated system to cut the pharmacy staff down to the bare minimum. Anne was advocating against it. Word was she was going to be the first to be let go.
Haley raises brows and looks at Fincher. She walks through hospital.
Hey, Monty. I was just calling you. Megan said that the pharmacist might have had motive against Erica. Might be worth a chat.
Well, Mr. Harms assures me that there is no digoxin missing. But I was just on my way over to the pharmacy to verify that for myself.
Haley nods.
Care to join me?
I thought you'd never ask.
Well, I figured I'd invite you since you'll just come anyway.
You're not wrong.
So, no Fincher?
He's with Megan. She's pretty shaken up over all of this.
Understandably.
So you were with Mr. Harms. Did he say why he hadn't called the police?
He said that they were waiting for internal confirmation on Jones's report.
In other words, he was hoping to avoid an official investigation, opening up the hospital to bad press and potential lawsuits.
Yeah, my take exactly.
Knocks on door.
What happened to Erica is sad, but we work in a hospital. People die every day.
Who has access to this pharmacy?
Only me.
You're the only one in the whole hospital?
Yes.
So how does a doctor go about getting a drug?
There are automated dispensers on every floor for the standard drugs that doctors use all the time. Experimental or potentially dangerous drugs are safely locked away in here. I'm the only one with a pass key.
I heard that Erica Shulman was going to introduce an automated main dispensary to help you out.
It wouldn't have helped me at all. But I don't have to worry about that now, lucky for everyone.
Haley squints.
Technology is only as good as the people who use it. I know what happens when a pharmacist isn't consulted. Doctors are too busy, they can't catch everything, so I am their safety net, not a machine.
So if someone were to prescribe something like digoxin, you would be the one to determine it was the best option?
It's a very specific example, but yes, digoxin is a last resort. It's not used lightly around here. And no, nothing is missing. I run a very tight ship.
Still, I'd like to see the records and the digoxin for myself.
They glare at each other. Haley and Fincher leave hospital at dusk.
I didn't get the feeling Anne the pharmacist was lying. I mean, she was a bit defensive, but that's understandable given the circumstances.
What does Monty think?
Well, she's still back in there going through the digoxin records from the last few years, making sure nobody was hoarding it, waiting for the right opportunity.
It's thorough. Maybe a bit of a stretch. I think it's safe to assume that the digoxin didn't come from the hospital.
So then where?
It's a great question.
How's Megan doing?
She's a little more rattled than I think she'd care to admit. So where are you heading now?
I'm actually headed to your office. Paulina asked me to sit in on a meeting with Clayton Morrell's sister-in-law.
Sister of the victim. She must be unsettled about his parole hearing.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
See ya.
All right.
She walks to Dark's car and gets in. A woman comes into Paulina's office. Haley stands beside Paulina.
Thank you both for seeing me.
My door is always open to you, Amelia. I'm glad you finally returned my calls.
I almost didn't.
This parole hearing must be bringing up a lot of old feelings.
I don't feel any differently than the day that he killed her. I'm still so angry.
I sympathize. And I want you to know that I'm going to be speaking at the parole hearing, and you are welcome to do the same.
I don't think I can be in the same room as that man. He pledged to honor and protect my sister. But he didn't. He murdered her. As far as I'm concerned, he should have to pay for that for the rest of his life.
I feel the same way. And I'm going to do everything in my power to keep him on the inside.
I hope so. Because if Clayton gets out of prison, I don't know what I'll do.
Glares at Paulina. Haley looks at Paulina.
So Paulina asked me to check into Clayton Morrell. I know she's hoping for some dirt, but I haven't been able to find anything. Seems he was a model prisoner.
He was a model husband, too, at least on the outside. Clayton was always very good at making people see what he wanted them to see.
You know, that warden's report will go a long way.
I know. Paulina's so desperate to keep him inside, I'm afraid it'll undermine her position.
Yeah, but that's where you come in, to provide the impartial assessment.
Impartial. We'll see. Have you talked to Megan?
Oh, might be her. I think her ears were burning. Hey, Megan.
Fincher, where are you?
I'm just getting some coffee with Haley.
Great, bring her too.
Where?
The police station, I think.
Police station?
I think I might be in trouble.
She looks over shoulder. Police beyond window.
Hang on.
Charlene approaches. Officer, Fincher and Haley at computer.
This has to be a misunderstanding.
Monty heard from multiple sources that Megan had a heated argument with Erica hours before she died. I heard the same thing too, Finch, even before Jonas found the digoxin.
An argument doesn't mean anything.
She's got to ask questions.
Haley dons headphones.
Do you want to tell me what you and Erica Shulman were arguing about?
She allowed one of my patients to be discharged into outpatient care. I wanted her to readmit him.
I'm told that this isn't the first time you disagreed over patients being discharged too early.
Yes, it's true.
She nods.
But that doesn't mean I didn't admire everything else she was doing.
You were on shift the night Erica died?
Yes.
If we were to check your financial records, would we find any suspicious purchases?
Like illegal digoxin? Of course not.
And you won't mind if we confirm that for ourselves.
Go ahead. I have nothing to hide. This is ridiculous.
You can't hold me in custody for having an argument.
You can go.
She stands up from the chair in the interrogation room and leaves. Haley takes off headphones and sighs. Wood-fired pizza food truck.
Not only did the police haul me off in front of all my colleagues, I can only see patients while supervised now. It's humiliating. I didn't do anything wrong.
Maybe everybody's looking in the wrong place. What about Dr. Chang? You said that he was Erica's cardiologist.
He's the hospital superstar. He's half the reason our surgical team gets the funding it does.
Someone needs to have a chat with him, but it won't be me. That was the district attorney herself on the phone.
Oh, Paulina just called you? That can't be good.
It isn't. I've been told to stay away from this investigation. Apparently I have a conflict of interest.
She's not wrong, Fincher. I'm sorry.
I know, but I'm not sorry about it.
Me neither.
So I managed to get a meeting with Robert Harms. He's been a bit cagey with Monty, but we'll see what I can get out of him.
Thanks, Haley.
Haley smiles at her friend.
Haley, I am so sorry. Mr. Harms is just running a few minutes late on a call. He was wondering if you wouldn't mind waiting just a couple minutes.
Not a problem at all. How are you?
I'm still fine.
You know, you can talk to me about anything. It doesn't have to be about Erica.
Yeah, well, I don't want to come across as heartless because I care more about a guy than my boss dying.
Emotions aren't rational and they aren't the same for everyone.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, tell me what's going on. Maybe I can help.
Okay.
She grins.
So, listen, I have been seeing this guy, and at first I wasn't sure if it was exclusive or not, but things have been getting a little more serious, and honestly, I'm getting tired of hiding it.
He wants you to keep it a secret?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like he's ashamed of me or anything. It's just that if anyone found out, he could, he could get in trouble.
Because he works here at the hospital and it's against the rules.
How did you find out? Who told you?
Don't worry, I didn't hear it through the hospital grapevine. It's just an educated guess.
Please don't tell anyone.
I won't. But you need to talk to him.
You think so?
I do. And then you should find out what hospital policy is and figure out what you have to do to take your relationship public. Assuming you both want to.
That's scary.
Everything worth fighting for always is.
Oh, you're right.
Winces.
One second. Yes? Yeah, okay. I'll send her right out. Mr. Arms is ready for you now.
Let me know what happens.
I will, thank you. Mm-hmm. It's just around here.
She points around corner and Haley follows.
My name.
Mr. Harms stands.
Dean, sorry to keep you waiting. Ivy, would you please call Detective Montgomery? Let her know that our legal department won't allow us to release any files without a subpoena.
Of course.
Please, have a seat.
Always listen to your legal department. I used to be a prosecutor.
How can I help you?
I think you know that I am a friend of Dr. Megan Phillips.
That was such a shock. She had so much promise.
She still has promise. The investigation is far from over.
In my experience, the most obvious suspect is usually the guilty one.
It's interesting. My experience is the exact opposite.
Are you here to plead Dr. Phillips' innocence?
No, I was actually just wondering if you had any idea who might have benefited from Erica's death.
Are you accusing me?
Oh, not at all. Though I can see why you might think that. By your logic, you would be the most obvious beneficiary and thereby the guilty one.
I don't think anyone believes that.
I'm sure they don't. But what about Dr. Chang? He was Erica's cardiologist. He had obvious opportunity.
I think I'm going to heed your advice and listen to my legal department. I can't divulge hospital business. You understand?
I do.
He nods at her.
Thank you for your time.
She stands up from the chair opposite him at the desk and leaves. Dr. Chung enters another office.
Haley Dean, is it? I don't seem to have your medical chart for some reason. Can you tell me your symptoms?
Oh, I'm not here for that. I'm just here to talk.
This is a surgical consult, not a therapy session.
I'm a friend of Dr. Phillips, and I was hoping to talk to you about the death of Erica Shulman.
Are you with the police?
Not technically. I can imagine how hard it must be to lose a patient.
You can't.
It would be normal to have some feelings of guilt.
I don't.
Makes fist.
I did everything I could.
Including treating her with digoxin?
Digoxin?
Smirks.
You obviously didn't go to medical school. I would have never prescribed her digoxin at such an early stage. I hadn't even found the cause of the arrhythmia.
That must have been frustrating for you.
Not all medical problems are obvious. I like a challenge.
She nods. He does as well.
I didn't make a mistake. I don't make mistakes. And I have real patients who need help. Not busybodies who are just here to waste my very valuable time.
Dr. Chang opens the door with a frown. She leaves. Jonas approaches.
Oh, hello, stranger.
Well, hello back.
Aren't you Dr. McClellan?
Yes.
Oh, we're all such fans. Honestly, we never bother to open it. We all like the cover so much.
That's nice. This is my girlfriend, Haley.
We met. You're Dr. Phillips' therapist friend.
That's right.
How is Dr. Phillips? I feel really badly for her.
She's managing. You don't think she had anything to do with Erica's death?
You know, everyone knows nurses see everything. If I was going to trust anyone's opinion, it would be yours.
She looks down.
We're not supposed to talk about it.
Makes sense. The hospital's being careful. Thanks for your help.
Haley smirks.
But I guess since you're affiliated with the hospital, I wouldn't be speaking out of turn.
Well, I suppose that's true.
Of course, everyone knows Robert Harms got passed over for the CEO job. But it was a pretty big shock to everyone, and no one really knows why.
Why do you think?
Robert's the cautious type. He wanted to save money to make money, but Erica was all about investing in the hospital to make it more efficient in the long term.
Did Mr. Harms ever do anything to undermine Erica?
Never. I actually always thought there was something romantic between them. Just the way he looked at her sometimes.
What about the nurses? Was Erica well-liked?
She was the boss. Who likes their boss?
Well, thanks so much for your help. It was really nice meeting you.
Oh, don't mention it, Dr. McClellan.
Please, call me Jonas.
Oh.
They shake hands. Fincher and Haley.
You can have my salad.
I don't want your salad.
So wait, you're saying that all Jonas had to do was flash those baby blues and the nurse spilled everything?
It was pretty amazing to watch, although not that helpful. So, turns out that Robert Harms was passed over for the CEO job, and Anne the pharmacist was convinced that Erica's new automation program was going to make her redundant.
Well, that sounds like motive enough.
And then there's the enigma that is Dr. Chang.
Enigma no more. I found out that good old Dr. Chang was currently being sued for malpractice.
Well, that's common with doctors.
Well, this happened off hospital property. Chang had to enlist his own lawyer.
So the hospital wasn't handling it?
Not on their property, not their problem. And that order came from Erica herself.
Now that's the kind of motive we've been looking for.
Haley answers phone call.
Hey, Monty, I was just about to call you. We have a suspect in the death of Erica Shulman.
Let's put a pin in that. Jonas just identified another victim.
meeting.
Sarah von Valkenburg, 87 years old. She had kidney disease and was in the hospital for a biopsy. According to her chart, there were no complications, so I did a more comprehensive blood panel than I normally would, which is how I found the extremely high level of digoxin in her blood.
Just like Erica.
Is there any possibility of a legitimate explanation?
There was no medical reason for Mrs. von Valkenburg to take digoxin. To me, this seems like another targeted victim.
Have you been able to get Erica's hospital records yet?
Not yet. Given the latest development, I'm sure I can get a warrant for that and a duty roster.
Haley checks phone.
I gotta go. Parole hearing.
Clayton Moreau. It's all over the news. Good luck.
Thanks.
Jonas waves at her and she leaves.
We must remember Clayton Morrell's crime. He planned and executed the murder of his wife in her own home. You've all heard the horrific details. It was calculated and methodical. Much like the time he spent in prison playing the devoted student, the willing volunteer, a friendly face. He has not changed. If Clayton Morrell is granted parole, be assured he will kill again. And we won't be able to stop him.
Jury frowns and listens. Clayton in an orange jumpsuit behind her. She glares at him, then walks back to her table beside Haley and sits. Haley and Paulina exit the courtroom.
Well, as far as parole hearings go, I think that went pretty well.
I think you did an excellent job. I don't think he'll get parole.
I don't think so either.
Leave me alone, you psycho. You're the psycho for still being with Clayton Morrell. You don't know anything about me.
I know if he's released, he'll kill again. If he gets out, you will both pay.
Paulina and Haley glance at each other.
Hello, Miss District Attorney. Clayton will be so happy to hear that I ran into you.
Walk away, Miss Lineker.
It's Mrs. Morrell now.
She holds up wedding ring, turns and leaves the courtroom.
Well, is he staying in jail?
I feel confident that the parole board will have him serve his full sentence.
You better hope so.
She turns and leaves with a frown.
I cannot wait till this is all over.
In Fincher's car.
I'm not sure what to do. She's taking it so personally.
I know. He seems pretty caught up. Hello?
Oh, I'd love to talk, but you know what? I'm what you call a silent rider. I don't like to chat.
This is my car, so...
Technically, it is your car, but also technically, I'm your customer. Customer's always right, so that's something you...
She thinks this is a ride share.
...over and over in your head. Who is she? I don't like sharing with other people. I have to get too close to them. You're going to have to go. May I have a bottle of water?
All right, listen, lady, you see this?
Don't flash that fake badge at me. I can spot a fake badge a mile away. You know what? I am going to give you a bad review. And don't say you weren't warned. First you have her in the front seat. Then you don't give me a bottle of water. Then you flash a fake badge at me. You know what? I'm reporting you. And newsflash, you're not the only ride in town. I can call another car. In fact, I can call 911.
Okay.
I've had it with you two. Good riddance.
She hops out of the back of the car and slams the door.
I'm gonna get a bad review.
I don't know what just happened.
And that's not the craziest thing that's ever happened in this car. No. Whoa. This food's for Megan. No. Not for us.
You're giving Megan two greasy burgers and fries?
Yeah, and some onion rings, you know, to cheer up.
Okay, I know that your life revolves around food, but maybe Megan would prefer, I don't know, flowers?
Flowers? I don't get the point of flowers. What's the point of them?
They're pretty and they feed bees.
Yeah, they feed bees and you cut them and then 2 hours later they're dead.
2 hours later? What do you do to your flowers?
Have you seen the flowers at the hospital? So sad. Clinging to life. That's a terrible metaphor for the patients.
Flowers at the hospital. I wonder.
Well, I do. I got the feeling that Megan's food is going to get real cold.
Drive.
Yeah.
He turns on car. Headlights illuminate and he pulls out of parking lot. Fincher and Haley walk through hospital.
You know I'm not supposed to be here investigating.
This is a time-sensitive thing. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Haley.
Could you point us towards Sarah von Valkenburg's room, please?
I'm so sorry, but Mrs. von Valkenburg passed away yesterday. And her room has been reassigned. We only have so many beds.
That's unfortunate.
She wasn't here very long. She seemed like a lovely lady. She died alone. Very sad.
We'd like to get in touch with anyone who might have known her. Did she receive any cards or flowers?
That's really kind of you. Actually, yes. One bouquet. It's still here.
Both smile as he returns with bouquet.
I'm sorry. I have to take this. Did you need anything else?
No. Thank you. You've been very helpful.
What every nurse likes to hear.
Get well soon from all of us at Atlanta Hills Golf Club. Didn't Megan say that Erica was a big golfer?
Looks like we just found our connection.
Haley and Fincher smile, then leave.
So after Haley and I made the connection, I did my best at the Atlanta Hills Golf Club, but they shut me down. You know, I understand the need for privacy, but you'd think that a golf membership list wouldn't be such a secret.
I didn't realize Erica Schulman was on the board at Atlanta Hills. Of course, that's the connection. Sarah Van Valkenburg is the chair.
How'd you know that?
Well, I do have a life outside of the station, you know. Part of that includes golf.
Golf, huh? I always figured you were more of like a boxer or a wrestler or something like that.
Okay, I'm sure there's a compliment in there somewhere. Anyway, I spoke to my husband, who spoke to a friend of his who's on the admissions committee at Atlanta Hills. Now, apparently a certain Dr. Tim Chang applied for membership but was blocked because of some scandal at the hospital.
Yeah, that must have been the malpractice suit that happened off of hospital property, but no one except Erica would have known about that.
Well, that would mean that Erica was directly responsible for his membership getting blocked.
And Sarah Van Valkenburg had the final say.
But is being denied membership to Atlanta Hills a motive for murder?
Well, you obviously don't golf.
No.
Shakes head.
Last time I checked, it wasn't a crime to go golfing. I failed to see the relevance of how I spend my time off.
Were you involved with a patient by the name of Sarah Van Valkenburg?
I have a lot of patients.
Is that a yes?
I don't know off the top of my head. I'm sure the hospital can check for you.
So you're saying you don't know who she is at all?
I don't know.
You weren't aware that she was the chair of the membership committee at Atlanta Hills Golf Club?
He leans back with eyes squinted.
Do you know why your membership application was denied?
His lips tight, he lowers jaw.
All right, let's talk about something else.
Do you ever prescribe digoxin?
Rarely. What is the obsession with digoxin lately?
Were you aware that Erica Schulman and Sarah Van Valkenburg both died
from an overdose of digoxin?
I think I'll call my lawyer now.
He's not talking, and we have no real evidence. We can hold on to him for a few hours, but that's it.
You seem genuinely surprised when you brought up that both patients died from digoxin.
No. Now, even if we accept his motive, we still need opportunity, and Chang was off shift when Erica died.
Doesn't mean he wasn't at the hospital.
She raises brows and nods at Haley. Haley leaves the office. Security camera footage at nighttime.
Megan would kill me if she knew I was here again.
Don't you mean Paulina, your boss, would kill you?
Paulina will fire me. That's not half as bad as what Megan will do.
Okay, don't worry. We're almost done. We've been through all the footage from the night Mrs. Van Valkenburg died, and we're almost through the night Erica died.
And still no Dr. Chang.
It was a long shot.
You know, our best bet would be to try to figure out where he got the drugs.
Well, he didn't get them at the hospital pharmacy, and Monty's going through all of his financials to see if there are any unidentifiable transactions.
Can't imagine that you'd see anything like digoxin on his financials. He wouldn't buy it online. It'd be too easy to trace back to him.
And if he got it on the black market, we'd never be able to find it.
Just playing the waiting game, then. Waiting for Monty to work her magic.
Or for us to work our magic. Look.
Fincher examines Dr. Chang on footage.
Oh, well, hello there, Dr. Chang. We've been expecting you.
And there you are. Dr. Chang said that he went back to the hospital to get his glasses that night, but no one can corroborate that.
Well, then you may have caught the killer.
There are questions he's not answering, but it's a good start.
Jonas smiles over a glass of wine.
It was really sweet of you to offer your kitchen to my dad's new hobby.
A McClellan wants to make me dinner? How can I say no? Oh.
Nothing to worry about. All under control. I hope you're both ready for my signature dish. Quiche a la Grant.
Thank you.
Serves.
Thanks, Dad.
Dig in.
She takes a bite. Jonas does as well. His father raises brows and looks for a reaction. They chew with no smile.
It's eggy. And sweet.
That's the maple syrup. One of my clients brought me some back from Quebec. They put it in everything.
It's different.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I thought I could start selling it at farmers markets. I might put down a lease on a commercial kitchen.
Dad, maybe you want to hone your skills a little more first.
What do you mean?
The father takes another bite.
Oh.
He nods and looks down.
That's what you mean. It's terrible.
It doesn't matter if you're good at it. The important thing is you enjoy doing it.
If I'm honest, Ailey, cooking this was the opposite of fun.
Well, that then explains a lot.
Thank you for indulging me, both of you. And to make it up to you, I'll whip up a little something I never get wrong. The phone number for Luigi's Pizza.
Both chuckle and she looks at Jonas.
Hey, wow, I haven't seen that in years. My baby photos?
I thought Haley would like to see them.
It's a beautiful box. Where did you get it?
I made it.
Did I know that?
Probably not. I used to make the odd thing here and there. I always enjoyed seeing something take shape in my hands. But that was another life. No sense going backwards.
Do you think that maybe you could stop by my office sometime? I have a favor I might want to ask of you.
I'm happy to. Now, let's get this pizza ordered.
So cute.
Smiles at photos.
It's Megan. Hey, Megan, is everything all right?
I don't think so. Another patient has died. And I don't think we need an autopsy to know the cause.
A bottle of digoxin. Haley's mouth wide open. Autopsy room.
The digoxin bottle is currently being tested for fingerprints. You can see the digoxin label was placed on top of what was left of an older label that was torn off.
Probably stolen and resold on the black market?
That's a theory.
I'm sure you already guessed the hospital's latest casualty, Mary Smith, died of an overdose of digoxin. The levels in her blood were about the same as Erica Schulman and Sarah von Valkenburg.
Was she a member of the golf club?
I doubt it. Miss Smith was a tourist from Florida, and she arrived in Atlanta 2 days ago by herself and was admitted to the hospital yesterday.
And to add to the differences, Miss Smith's chart indicates she suffered from acute stomach pain, a chronic condition.
So the medical issues are different, but the women aren't.
How so?
All three are single women. No next of kin in the city.
Well, that's not a profile as much as a segment of the population.
Maybe the motive isn't personal. In fact, it could be the exact opposite. I think Atlanta Memorial may have its very own angel of death.
Haley furrows brows.
An angel of death? There has to be a different explanation.
We'd like you to give us access to your files so that we can look for any victims that may have gone unnoticed.
There should be evidence of escalation.
This is your professional opinion?
It's a theory that fits the evidence. And if we can look at your files, we might be able to establish a pattern that will help us narrow down the list of suspects.
This is very troubling.
Have any of your staff made any unusual requests lately for specific shifts or to change rotations?
I wouldn't know, but I'll have Ivy look into it. What am I supposed to do in the meantime? Close the hospital?
No, that's the worst thing you can do. We don't want to scare our suspect into hiding.
What about the patients?
I would suggest double staffing for the time being. Ensure that no one is ever alone with any patient.
How am I going to justify that expense to the board without letting them know what is happening?
Just tell them it's an order from the police.
Fine.
Leans back with a frown.
This is a PR nightmare.
We don't want this to get out to the press any more than you do.
Good.
Raises brows.
Then we're agreed. This theory doesn't leave this room.
Detective Charlene and Haley look at each other. Suspect board.
I'm not sure any of the suspects we previously identified fit with this new theory.
Well, how about the pharmacist? She could have easily altered her inventory to hide the missing digoxin.
If we are looking for an angel of death, then we are looking for someone who didn't have a motive against Erica. Most of the people on the board did.
Well, you're saying an angel of death wouldn't have a problem with their victims.
It would be an unusual dichotomy. We're looking for someone who is relieving these patients of perceived suffering. In the killer's mind, what they're doing is altruistic.
Then he or she would choose victims who were dying anyway. Does that fit with our three victims?
Erica had a sudden arrhythmia, but it's not a death sentence, and the other two had chronic issues, but they're not terminal. Like I said, it's a perceived suffering.
But why draw so much attention by choosing the head of the hospital as one of your victims?
It's possible that the killer is new at this and hadn't thought about the fallout. But to strike so many times in so few days makes me think the opposite.
This is someone who's done it before.
The killer is confident, if nothing else. What is all this?
Printouts of the hospital schedules, employee records, right down to the volunteers, patient charts, pharmacy records. I sent the previous fatalities of the last year over to Jonas to sift through.
Well, I better get going.
Well, you're not staying?
Yeah, I got a thing, so I can't.
Is something wrong?
Yeah, there might be.
Haley storms off, Charlene's brows raised. She looks down at folders and grabs them. Heavy New York City traffic.
Paulina, what happened?
He's getting out, Haley. Clayton Morrell got parole. I just don't understand it.
Were you given a reason?
Standard answer. They believe he learned his lesson, he won't reoffend. I can't believe they fell for his act.
Okay, if he so much as jaywalks, we will put him right back inside.
I don't know, Haley. Maybe I'm losing my touch.
You aren't. Maybe we're both overreacting.
I wish I could believe that.
It's going to be all right.
I wish I could believe that, too.
Haley looks down and sighs. Fincher, Haley, and Megan share meal.
I never would have expected it. Clayton Morrell getting parole in his first hearing?
Tell me about it.
Maybe the warden was right. Maybe he turned over a new leaf.
None of us believe that.
Stranger things have been known to happen.
Megan, are you okay?
Sorry. Yes, of course. What were we talking about?
I know that you're worried about everything that's going on at the hospital, but you know that you're no longer a viable suspect.
I'm relieved about that, obviously. But an angel of death? Haley, it's terrifying to think how many people might have been murdered right under my nose.
There's no way you could have known about that.
My head knows what you're saying is true, but the rest of me doesn't feel any less guilty.
Guilty of what?
Monty, did you find something?
That's why I'm here. Megan, I need to ask you a few questions. At the station.
Charlene glares at them. Haley and Fincher sit at desk.
I can't believe that this is happening again.
Monty wouldn't have brought Megan in without a good reason.
At once she won't tell us.
At least she's letting us observe. She didn't have to do that.
I know, but this all has to be one big mistake.
I'm sure you're right.
Haley nods. Fincher shakes head.
I want to get straight to the point.
Good. I want to put a stop to this as much as you do.
We found your fingerprints on the bottle of the Joxon.
Of course you did. I picked it up without gloves on. I didn't know what it was. This makes no sense. Why would I give you evidence against me?
To take suspicion off you.
That's crazy.
Here's the thing, Megan. We found your prints on what is essentially the murder weapon. You were on shift during each death. You have the knowledge and ability.
No, this can't be happening.
I know you only wanted to help.
Megan looks down.
I think I need a lawyer.
Charlene glares at her, then walks down a hallway and approaches Fincher.
This isn't right, Monty. Megan isn't that kind of person.
We're not looking for a stone-cold killer, Fincher. We are looking for someone who wants to end suffering. Are you telling me that Megan isn't that kind of person?
That is ridiculous. That is the flimsiest evidence I ever heard.
You've seen people crack under less. She's the only one with obvious opportunity, and you haven't known her that long.
You need to look for another suspect.
Fincher, I get that you're upset, but you need to let us do our job. And I don't think you can come in here anymore. Not until the case is closed.
You're kicking me out of here?
I'm really sorry.
Fincher, let's go.
You believe she's kicking me out of
here? Yes, I do, and she's right, too. You're not thinking straight.
Haley, this is Megan we're talking about. She's not a killer.
Okay, I know, and I agree with you. This is why I'm going to go back to the hospital. Megan found the bottle at the nurse's station. Who's to say that's the only thing the killer left behind?
Okay, well, I'm coming with you.
No, then. You stay here. Megan will be released soon, and she will need a friendly face.
Fincher nods, and Haley pats his back. Haley approaches hospital desk.
Hey, Haley, you're here late.
So are you.
Yes, well, Robert likes to work late, so I'm here too. Stuck in his hip.
I hope he's not taking advantage of you.
Oh, no, it's all right. I don't mind the extra work. Speaking of which, I gotta get back. Lisa, if you see Brian, will you tell him I'm looking for him?
Will do.
Okay, bye, Haley.
Bye. Hey, I was just wondering, where was that bottle Dr. Phillips found?
Right here on the desk.
Haley nods.
Mr. Rothman again. He's having a hard time with the TV remote.
Sounds traumatic.
You have no idea. I might be a while, so don't wait if you don't have to.
She steps away from the front desk. Haley looks around, but no one else is there. She slips behind the front desk carefully, then peers down near computer. Two trash cans beneath the desk. She squats and looks in them, a saline wrapper on the ground beneath trash can. She squats down to pick it up and furrows brows. Suddenly, she is injected in her arm. She bobbles, then falls over behind the desk, completely still with eyes closed. In hospital bed, she blinks, then stirs and looks around the room. Jonas holds her hand and gently rubs it as she comes to.
Jonas? What happened?
You're at the hospital.
I was injected.
Yes. With morphine. Your blood test showed enough to make you a bit loopy. Not enough to harm you. You don't remember anything?
She furrows brows.
I was under the counter, and I felt the prick of a needle, and then everything went out of focus.
You didn't see who drugged you?
If I did, I don't remember.
We can be thankful it wasn't anything lethal. How do you feel?
Fine.
Raises her brows.
Confused, but fine. Was there a label on me?
No.
Shakes his head.
I found one under the counter. It was just like the digoxin label on the bottle Megan found, only this one wasn't torn.
You found a digoxin label?
No. Saline.
He shakes head.
That label could have been from anything. The bottle Megan found had remnants of digoxin in it.
There's no digoxin missing from the hospital pharmacy, correct?
Correct.
So, if you were going to steal secured and inventoried medication from a hospital pharmacy, how would you do it?
I'd replace it with something else so that'll look like nothing was missing.
Something like saline.
We'll call Monty. She wants to talk to you about what happened anyway.
Wish there was more to tell.
Don't worry about that. Just stay put and rest until you're discharged.
He kisses her on the head, then leaves her hospital room as she taps finger against her stomach. Jonas removes device from case.
I just can't believe Haley was attacked here last night. I'm so relieved that she's all right.
Me too.
Although it was all I could do to keep her in bed when she found out we were about to start testing the digoxin bottles.
Door opens. Pharmacist sits outside.
Speaking of, what are you doing here?
I was just discharged and told to resume life as normal.
Oh, so you obviously came straight here to watch me test every bottle of digoxin in the pharmacy.
Just resuming life as normal. I just saw Anne, the pharmacist, and she looked none too happy to be waiting outside.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly. But she's a person of interest, and I can't have her attempting to tamper with potential evidence.
In that case, these are all the bottles of digoxin in the pharmacy. Where do we start?
Look for the one with the torn label.
This one's missing a corner. I'll start with this one.
Now, I don't get why you found a saline label at the nurse's station.
No, I bet it was meant to be thrown away, but just missed the garbage can. I think the killer swapped out digoxin for saline, switching out the labels.
Then had to relabel the digoxin bottle as digoxin so that when it was found, we'd know what it was.
And the bottle at the nurse's station could have been planted there to lay off blame, and Megan just happened to be the one to find it.
Then whoever knocked you out
might have gone back there to clean up the saline label they left behind and found me inconveniently in the way.
Well, the morphine syringe seemed to have come from a tray that was prepared for a nearby patient. A crime of convenience would fit.
Mm-hmm.
Your hunch was right, Haley. This bottle is full of saline. No trace of digoxin in it. I'll test them all, but I have a feeling I'll find at least two more.
At least we know where the digoxin came from.
And that means that the killer had access to this pharmacy.
Haley looks up, eyes wide.
We believe the digoxin used to kill Erica Shulman and two other patients came from the hospital pharmacy. A total of 3 bottles were swapped out for normal saline bottles, and their labels switched to avoid detection.
Anne, it's time for the truth.
I didn't do it.
Did you let anyone into the pharmacy?
No, I never let anyone unauthorized into the pharmacy.
And you never lent your passkey to anyone, not even for a minute?
No.
Anne, I know you're worried about losing your job, but I can see that you're holding something back, and it's important that we know the truth. It's more important than punishing you. Isn't that right, Mr. Harms?
Yes. I promise your job is safe.
She frowns and looks down with a sigh.
I lost my passkey last week.
When exactly?
The day before Erica was admitted.
And you didn't report it?
It was only for a few minutes. Half an hour tops. I didn't even notice that it was missing from my uniform until I saw it sitting on the counter at the nurse's station.
You broke protocol. Anytime the passkey goes missing, you call security, you have it deactivated. If you'd done that, maybe Erica would still be alive.
She looks down in remorse.
I know. I know, I knew that Erica would have said that a machine wouldn't lose a key. I was fighting for my job. I went in and I did a full inventory. I swear there was nothing missing.
And by the time you noticed your passkey was missing, the killer already had the drug. It's not your fault.
Haley shakes head.
Who found the passkey?
Lisa Schenstrom. She was about to call security when I came by.
And where is Lisa now?
Ivy, can you have Lisa Schenstrom come in here right away, please?
Of course.
I'll need you to make a statement in writing. I'll come by the pharmacy later.
All right.
You can go back to work. We'll discuss this indiscretion later.
She nods, then stands and leaves Mr. Harms' desk. Haley, with furrowed brow, sits as Charlene and Mr. Harms stand in office.
Robert, I'm sorry, but it seems Lisa has called in sick today.
Charlene and Haley glance at each other.
Sent a car to Lisa's house. She's not home, surprise. I'll put out an APB.
Let me know when you find her.
Will do. Just want to get Anne's statement. I'll talk to you later.
She walks off and leaves Haley in hallway with arms crossed and brows furrowed. Ivy grabs a box from the front desk and walks away with a sigh and frown.
Ivy, what happened?
I quit. That's what happened.
Did you talk to your boyfriend?
I did. And he told me that if we were working together, that we couldn't be together. So I quit.
And he's okay with that?
He said he wasn't sure it was a solution, that it might look bad on him, like he forced me to quit.
Did he force you?
No.
Shakes head.
No, this was my idea. I want to make this work.
Well, I hope he appreciates what you're doing for him. Look, I can't imagine how hard things have been for you lately. First your boss dies, and then the police show up, and now this. That's a lot of change.
But change is good, right?
Change should move you forward. Maybe you should take some time to think, decide what future you really want, then you'll know what to do.
Smiles.
Thanks. I think you're right.
Anytime.
Haley nods and Ivy leaves. Outside, a woman with curly red hair gets out of her car and walks inside. Fincher and Haley pull into parking lot right as she goes inside.
So Lisa was the last one with the pharmacy passkey.
Yep, and she called in sick today at the hospital.
So I assume asking you to stay in the car is pointless.
You assume correctly.
The two of them hop out of the gray Crown Victoria and enter the office. The woman who just entered stands before a crowd.
Hi, I'm Lisa. I'm an alcoholic. Things have been really rough at work lately. 3 people have died, and the police are all over the place. I'm scared because I'm really being tested. And I think it's my fault.
Faces in the crowd furrow brows and frown as she relays the news. The woman is the nurse who told information to Jonas.
No one at work knows I'm a recovering alcoholic. I come to this meeting all the way across town so I don't run into anybody. It's anonymous for a reason.
Nobody is trying to interfere in your recovery.
Did you inject those people with digoxin?
She raises brows and grimaces.
You're not sure?
No.
Tears in her eyes, her lips curl.
You were drinking?
My boyfriend broke up with me last week. I thought I was all right until I found a bottle of champagne that someone had given him as a gift. He must have left it by accident, and I didn't have the strength to throw it out.
People make mistakes.
Yeah, but this one was really bad. One bottle led to too many to count. I don't even remember the night Erica died.
What about the other victims?
I've been confused and upset. It's been very stressful at the hospital since Erica died.
Do you think you could have administered lethal doses to three different people?
I've made mistakes before. I have to accept that it's possible.
So, how did Anne's key card from the pharmacy end up in the nurse's station?
I don't know. It was just there when I got back from lunch.
You didn't see anybody turn it in?
Not personally. I just assumed it was a visitor. If it had been hospital staff, they would have taken it to security.
Haley looks up at Fincher.
Are you going to report me?
I'm not. But you are. You know you have to heal yourself before you can help heal others.
I know. I'm so sorry.
And I'm here if you need me, okay?
All I want is to be sober. And whatever it takes to give me the strength is what I'm gonna do. Thank you.
Haley nods with brows furrowed. Prison door opens and Clayton steps outside in street clothes with a smirk. Haley stands beyond prison gate with arms crossed beside Paulina.
Paulina, you don't have to be here.
I want Clayton Morell to know I'm watching him.
I just worry that...
Don't. I have no intention of speaking to him. I just want him to know that I am watching him.
His wife approaches the gate and smiles brightly as he emerges. She rounds the corner and the two of them passionately kiss as the cameraman records the scene. They part lips and hug each other tightly.
Okay, he sees you. Let's go.
Paulina glares.
One sec.
Clayton walks over to Paulina.
Hello there, Paulina. It's a pleasant surprise. District Attorney herself here to welcome me back to freedom. Congratulations on the election, by the way. Oh, I didn't vote for you, obviously.
I just wanted you to know I'm watching you, waiting for you to slip up, because you will slip up.
I'm not sure the District Attorney should be making such threats.
Not a threat. I promise.
Paulina, the cameras. Come on, let's go.
You're leaving so soon? Such a shame. Lucky for me, I know where to find you if I should want to.
Good luck, Mr. Morell. Come on.
The two of them leave as Clayton returns to his newlywed wife. Haley walks down a hallway to office front desk.
Oh, Haley, you're here. I have something to show you. Are you all right?
Oh, just a rough day. What do you have to show me?
Mm-hmm. Gray chair.
Our chair is fixed. I know. Isn't it amazing? It's all because of you.
Me?
Jonah's father emerges.
Hi, Haley.
Mr. McClellan, I didn't know you were coming by today.
Oh, call me Grant, please. I was in the neighborhood and took my chances. But instead of finding you...
He found me in despair over our chair.
And right away, I understood the favor you wanted to ask.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm happy to help. And I have to say, I really enjoyed it.
Do you think you'd consider making something else?
Oh, I'd buy it.
No, I'm not so sure my loving wife would want me turning our garage into a workshop. But thanks for this. It was fun.
Sits in chair and it holds.
Look, she's so happy.
I always knew my dad was handy, but I guess when he wasn't working, he spent his time with me.
Jonas, he was more than handy. He's talented, and it's clear it makes him very happy.
Hey, Haley. Any luck with those hospital records, Jonas?
I couldn't find any more deaths at Atlanta Memorial that fit the same profile as the recent victim, so I widened my search, and I found a woman who died at Ingram General Hospital last year without a clear cause of death.
I think I saw something in one of the hospital staff files mentioning Ingram General.
Unlike the others, this patient was terminal but still had a couple of years to live. Although her sudden death was not explained by her illness and there was no direct cause, she was not alone in the world.
She might have been the first, and she might have sparked sympathy for a different reason, especially if the Angel of Death established some kind of personal connection to her. And since then, that connection's changed.
Or the killer learned from his or her mistake, better to choose a victim with no one left behind.
I left to send a message to follow up. Now, the file didn't indicate what happened to her remains, so it might not be possible to confirm either way.
Here's the personnel file. Brian Martin worked at Ingram General before moving over to Atlanta Memorial.
The Ingram General victim died 6 months ago.
According to this, Brian's last day at Ingram General was a week after she died.
1 week later.
Let's head over to the hospital. I'll call Ingram General on the way, see what I can find out.
I'll drive.
Women leave.
Thanks again for calling me back. Well, that was interesting. Apparently, the head nurse at Ingram General Hospital was convinced that a patient's death had been helped along by one of her staff, but she was hushed up by administration. I couldn't get anyone to confirm it, but the head nurse did give me a name.
Let me guess. Ryan Martin.
Yeah. I'm going to call for backup.
They both get out of car. Woman pushes cart into patient room as Charlene and Haley enter with a police officer. Nurse's brows raised as they approach him.
Hi, Haley. Detective Montgomery.
I need you to come down to the police station for questioning in the murders of Erica Shulman, Sarah Van Valkenburg, and Mary Smith.
I can't just leave my patients.
They're not your patients anymore, Bran. This way.
You can't do this. I have to stay here. My patients need me.
Ryan, this way. Come on.
They lead him away from the front desk as Haley watches.
I'm a nurse. I help people.
And did you help Erica Shulman?
As best as I could.
And Sarah Van Valkenburg?
Poor woman. At least she's out of pain now.
Would you say the same
about Mary Smith?
She was a sad case. Alone in a strange city. I tried to comfort her.
He shakes his head. Haley furrows brows with headphones on.
Why are you asking me about them?
Tell me about your time at Ingram General Hospital.
He glares at Charlene.
There's nothing to tell.
It was time to move on.
And why is that?
He frowns, eyes soft.
I know what happened, Brian. I know that you ended a patient's life at Ingram General Hospital just before getting a job at Atlanta Memorial.
I didn't kill her.
Then tell me what happened.
He furrows brows.
She was in so much pain. I watched her suffering for weeks. She begged me to help her end it. I had to help her. Nobody else would.
Did you help Erica and Sarah and Mary the same way?
I did everything I could for them.
For all of them.
I did the best that I could for them.
Did you steal Anne's pharmacy passkey?
No.
Swallows.
It was at the nurse's station. I don't know how it got there.
You used the passkey to swap out the digoxin for saline.
Digoxin?
The drug you used.
I didn't use digoxin.
Then what did you use?
Insulin.
Haley furrows brows. Charlene enters the room and grabs seat.
He's confessed to the victim at Ingram General. I think we are close to a confession for the other three at Atlanta Memorial.
I don't know, Monty. He seemed very confused when you brought up the digoxin.
Well, at least we have enough to charge him for what happened at Ingram General. And the patients at Atlanta Memorial can sleep easy tonight.
I'm not convinced. Why go from insulin to digoxin? Insulin is far easier to obtain and probably more likely to be given by accident.
No one else fits the profile of an angel of death.
I'm starting to wonder if that was the right theory.
What's making you doubt it?
The Atlanta Memorial Killer was well organized. Each death was planned very carefully. That implies a more calculating mind.
And Brian doesn't have that.
An angel of death should be confident in their decisions. Righteous. All I see with Brian is someone completely guilt-ridden over helping one person die.
You know, I trust your instincts, Haley. But sometimes the most obvious suspect is the guilty one.
Haley furrows brows and looks at security camera footage of Spree in an investigation room with a frown. Garage door opens. Two men in dress shoes. Jonas and his father duck under the remainder of the garage door and enter empty space.
This is definitely not a coffee shop. Where are we?
Your new workshop.
What?
Jonas grins.
So I called Mom, and she told me that before I was born, you were thinking of starting a custom furniture business? But then I came along, and you went with the steady job instead of taking the risk.
That was a long time ago.
Well, then this is long overdue. I know the owner of the building, so I got a good deal. Now, I know it's a bit Spartan, run down. It's a good thing you're handy, but here's a new work desk to get you started. And this, to hang outside.
Jonas.
You already have commissions. Haley and Sabrina both want new desks, and I could use a new coffee table.
I appreciate it, son, but I can't accept all this.
Dad, you worked a job you didn't love for decades to provide for me. You put me through college and med school. You postponed your dreams so that I could follow mine.
And I would do it all over again. All I ever wanted was for you to be happy.
Now all I want is to give you that same gift. You invested in my future. Now I'm investing in yours.
Well, what did your mother say about all this?
She said, thank goodness he'll finally have something to do again. And while he's at it, we could use a new credenza.
His father chuckles and looks down with a grin, then shakes his head and makes eye contact.
Thank you, son.
Embrace.
Thank you, Dad.
Couple in kitchen.
Want to see a movie tonight?
Oh, I don't think I could concentrate. I'm just a bit preoccupied with this hospital case.
I thought money caught the killer.
Maybe, but I still have that feeling in the pit of my stomach.
The one that says it isn't over.
I know there is an explanation for all of this. I just don't know if it's the one sitting in the police station right now.
Monty will get to the truth. And you should rest easy knowing Brian won't be harming anyone else.
I guess so.
Haley, we had a new victim almost every other day.
But it stopped, didn't it? As soon as we started looking for an angel of death.
You don't know that no one else would have died.
Except Anne's pharmacy key was returned before the deaths even started.
You think the killer planned three deaths from the outset?
Maybe they were content to leave it at that. It would look like there was an angel of death, but be contained enough not to get caught.
That's a very risky plan.
But it worked.
She sips.
Or are you just overthinking this?
Anything's possible.
He grins and sighs with a smile. She points at dishes.
Yeah, I can get the dishes.
Thanks. I really should go.
Kisses her.
You get some rest. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Jonas turns and leaves. She reaches for phone and makes a call as she holds mug in other hand.
Haley, are you coming to meet me and Fincher for a late celebration dinner? He's still on his way from work, but I've managed to snag the best table.
What's the occasion?
I've been fully reinstated at work, and Fincher says it's all down to you. I can't thank you enough.
Well, it was a group effort, but I am so, so glad. Hey, I'm just curious. Did anyone at the hospital know we were looking for an angel of death?
I didn't say anything to anyone, if that's what you're asking.
So you didn't hear anyone talking about it?
Not at all, but I wouldn't expect something like that to leak out of the CEO's office.
So you don't think Brian would have heard that the police were onto that theory?
I doubt it. Did Monty tell anyone?
Only the interim CEO.
Oh, Robert's not interim anymore. The board voted him in.
He's got the job he always wanted. Are you sure you won't come tonight?
Maybe I will. Do you think he's still at the hospital right now?
9 o'clock? Probably. Why?
I have a question I want to ask him.
Haley hangs up, brows furrowed. Haley frowns as she walks through hospital hallways at nighttime. She walks upstairs and pauses for a moment, then grabs her phone and holds it to her ear.
This is Detective Montgomery. Please leave a message.
She types another call.
911, what is your emergency?
Hits her.
Hello? Are you still there? Hello? Please state the nature.
Her phone is smashed by the perpetrator. She lies unconscious and someone drags her across the hospital floor. Digoxin bottle on table beside a syringe. Haley remains unconscious on the floor. She stirs, shakes her head and breathes heavy as her eyes open. She sits up, brows furrowed, then touches her sore head. She lies in Mr. Harm's office. He rolls toward her, handcuffs with zip ties and duct tape over his mouth. She runs to help him.
Haley!
Ivy enters.
I'm so sorry. I meant to get back before you woke up. But I couldn't get back into the pharmacy to get more digoxin. So that means that I only have enough to kill Robert. So I guess, for you, it's just gonna have to be murder the old-fashioned way.
Shakes her head.
I'm sure there's another way, Ivy.
I'm sorry, Haley. Truly, you were so nice to me. But you do understand that I can't just let you go.
So you are behind all of this. Why?
I already told you. My boyfriend doesn't appreciate me. Everything I did for him. For you, Robert!
Robert? This whole time, I thought you were talking about Brian.
The nurse? Brian, what gave you the idea that I was with him?
I saw you with him the day after Erica died. It looked like an intimate conversation.
Oh, of course it did. You know what? He was telling me the deepest, darkest secrets. Like the time he killed one of his patients on purpose.
And that's what gave you the idea to frame him.
Look, when Erica died and the police showed up, I freaked out. But it's okay because I did my research and digoxin isn't on the usual drug panels.
So you left the bottle of digoxin at the nurse's station, hoping the police would connect it back to Brian.
I felt a little bad for Brian, I did, but the truth is he deserved it. He did kill that woman and he was the perfect cover. But you, I am so sorry for drugging you. Honestly, I found the closest syringe to me. I wasn't trying to kill you, Haley.
No, you were just trying to keep me from figuring out how you swapped out the digoxin.
Yes, and it was all going so well because who would suspect a little secretary, even one that works at a hospital and knows how to use the internet?
You were right. No one did.
No, and then Robert had to ruin it all.
If this whole thing was about Robert, you must have heard the rumor that he was seeing Erica.
Oh, no, that wasn't a rumor. He was seeing Erica at the same time as he was seeing me. And he promised me he would break up with her. But he said because she was the CEO, he had to find the right time. Unfortunately, there never was a right time.
But you believed him.
No, I have always known that Robert is a liar and a cheat. But you know what? Your heart doesn't care what your head knows.
No, it doesn't. So you took matters into your own hands. If Robert wouldn't end it with Erica, then you would end it for him by ending her life.
Exactly.
Tilts her head.
You know, Haley, you understand me more than Robert does.
How did you know Erica had an arrhythmia?
She didn't have one. I gave it to her. I put digoxin in her coffee, but instead of killing her, I only poisoned her. But you know what? It was easy enough to finish her off when she was stuck in that bed.
And what about the others? Sarah Van Valkenburg, Mary Smith, why them?
Because they were single. And they didn't have any family who would ask after them. They were actually the perfect victims for an angel of death.
You planned this meticulously.
Yeah, I did. I got rid of my competition. I got Robert. Robert got the job he always wanted. And I even quit my job so we could finally be together. And then tonight, Robert tells me that it is over. For good.
Ivy, I know that Robert broke your heart. But I also know that you still love him.
Oh,
It doesn't matter.
It does. It does. You love him and you want to protect him. You want him to be happy even if it means he's not with you.
No!
Ivy aims gun at Haley's face, then back at Mr. Harms.
I'm the only one that makes you happy.
Phone on table rings. Ivy looks at it. Haley smacks gun out of her hand and beneath the table. Ivy goes for the syringe and Haley unties Mr. Harms.
Hey! Drop that now!
Fincher aims.
Now! Put it down!
Tears in her eyes, she drops the syringe.
Haley, you okay?
Haley nods at Fincher. Police lights outside as an officer escorts Ivy into the back of a cop car while handcuffed. She holds Ivy's head so she does not hit it on the top of the car. Outside, Haley nods.
Fincher, we're good?
We're good, Monty. I know you're just doing your job.
I just want to thank you, Fincher. You got there just in time.
You seem to be managing things well enough without me.
Maybe, but I've never been happier to hear your voice.
Well, Megan told me that you wanted to talk to Robert and ask him some questions. This time of night, I had a feeling that you were going to find yourself in one of them situations you always find yourself in.
You know me so well.
And I plan on knowing you for a lot longer. What do you say we get you home?
Good night.
Take care.
See ya.
Haley and Fincher leave the hospital. At home, Jonas enters Haley's house.
Oh, Jonas.
I just heard. You all right?
I'm okay.
She nods.
I just wish you would have called me first.
Then I wouldn't be getting this amazing hug.
Please tell me you don't really think you need to confront murderers during my hugs. Because if you do, we're going to have a very serious conversation.
I don't think I want to talk anymore tonight.
You know, this isn't just about me anymore. If anything ever happens to you, my father will kill me.
Jonas smiles at her, brows raised. She smiles back and accepts a warm embrace from him. She relaxes into his arms. The sun rises, then sets over the city. At nighttime, Paulina on a stakeout, her car mostly obscured by brush. She answers phone.
Hello?
Hey, Paulina, it's Haley. Do you want to have dinner with me tonight? We could do takeout at my house.
Oh, Haley, that's so sweet, but I have other plans.
Okay, another time.
Sounds great.
Paulina, is everything all right?
No, Haley, but it will be. I'm going to make sure of it.
Paulina hangs up. Haley furrows brows with a frown as Paulina watches Clayton and his newlywed wife argue at dinner table. He stands up, touches his chest and leans over her, then points his finger at her. He walks away, and she covers her face with her hands. Paulina glares at the scene.